I was disappointed on election night when she said, gosh, we've got two girls that are going forward into the election. I feel like that really kind of diminished the role of these two strong women.
From Wyoming Public Media, this is The Modern West. I'm Micah Schweitzer. On this episode, we'll hear our second and final installment of a series called Women Run the West. The series explores the role of women in Western politics. For nearly 150 years, men have been Cheyenne's mayors. All that changed in the last election. Two women ran to become Cheyenne's first female mayor, but as Wyoming Public Radio's Caroline Ballard reports, their differences drove the election.
Mayoral candidates Marion Orr and Amy Serdam were friends for a couple of years. Then they each learned the other was seeking to become Cheyenne's next mayor. Marion Orr says they decided to meet up.
We had coffee, and I knew that she was considering, and I wanted to be very upfront with her that I was considering the race as well. And
Amy Serdam takes it from there.
And I just said, okay, let's be sure that we get to the other side and can be friends, number one. And number two, let's get one of us elected.
Getting one of them elected is in the bag. Serdam and Orr emerged from the primaries as the top two picks for mayor. And they are both making history, ensuring that Cheyenne will have a female mayor for the first time. But staying friends remains to be seen. The campaign has gotten heated. Amy Serdam says it started on primary night, when she referred to the two of them as girls in an interview.
I said, I can't believe that the community put two girls forward. You know, to me, I guess I didn't realize that was an offensive term to some females.
Marion Orr took issue with that characterization.
I was disappointed on election night when she said, gosh, we've got two girls that are going forward into the election. I feel like that really kind of diminished the role of these two strong women.
There is certainly some negativity in the campaign right now.
That's James Chilton, a reporter for the Wyoming Tribune Eagle, who's been following the race. He says while it's become heated, the candidates' disagreements focus mainly on policy and who would be the better mayor.
Based on what their goals are, what their policies are toward handling Cheyenne's infrastructure needs versus investing in amenities, which really has been, to me, the primary issue.
Marion Orr says she wants to focus on infrastructure, fixing roads, and improving police response time. What she calls
the basics of good government.
Amy Serdam wants to balance those infrastructure needs with creating new amenities, like a children's museum or a rec center. She argues Cheyenne should be a place people want to live.
That our kids want to come back, that our millennials want to stay, our professionals. That it's not a place that people settle on. Rather, it's a place that people strive to be a part of.
Chilton stresses that the decision is an important one for residents, because unlike many other communities, Cheyenne's mayor actually runs the city.
Whoever we elect as the city's next mayor is going to have the ability to establish a cabinet, put people in place underneath them that will be able to help analyze the issues facing the city.
Serdam is worried that people don't understand there are clear differences between herself and Orr.
And it's always still amazing to me when I'm out door knocking that people will say, oh, either way, we're going to win because we're going to have a female. And I'm like, wait a second, there's a lot of differences.
They certainly differ in how they want to run the city. But these two might be more similar than they think. They both come from professional backgrounds, are heavily involved in the community, and run in similar social circles. Orr has been a lobbyist in the Wyoming legislature for more than 20 years and argues that has given her an intimate working knowledge of government.
So I really know the flavor of the state and how the state's economic picture really trickles down to how cities, towns, and counties and communities like Cheyenne operate.
Serdam counters that as a nurse practitioner and executive director of nonprofits, she has a broad range of experience from which to draw. With their respective backgrounds, Orr and Serdam also have broad networks of potential donors. Throughout her run, Serdam received more than $30,000 in campaign contributions. Orr received more than $18,000. With lots of money raised on both sides and no local polling, it's tough to say who will win. But both candidates recognize they're making history in this all-female race. Marian Orr says Cheyenne is ready for a new chapter.
People are excited. They really are.
When the Wyoming legislature convened in the new year, it saw even fewer women in its ranks than it did in previous years. Wyoming already had the lowest percentage of female legislators of any state in the country. And as Caroline Ballard reports, part of the problem still lies in recruitment.
If you were to walk into the Cheyenne office of Wyoming's Congresswoman Cynthia Lummis, you might run into one of her three staffers, two of whom are women, or Cynthia Lummis herself. She replaced U.S. Representative Barbara Cuban, who was elected to be Wyoming's first female member of Congress in the 1990s. Lummis says Barbara Cuban broke a barrier when she won.
So when I then ran subsequently, Wyoming was accustomed to having a woman in that position. So I didn't need to break that ground. I simply had to prove myself as worthy of the position.
With the election of Liz Cheney, women have had a hold on the U.S. House seat. But the number of women in the Wyoming legislature has been dropping. Wyoming is last in the country when it comes to the percentage of women in its legislature. Lummis says that's a problem.
Half of Wyoming is women. So when only 13% of the legislature is women, something's missing.
And come January, that number will continue to go down to just 11%. But why are the numbers so low? There are a variety of possible explanations. For example, women tend to be caregivers, and Wyoming has a citizen legislature, which requires lots of time and resources. Women also have smaller financial networks upon which to draw. One of the biggest problems in getting women into office, though, is just recruiting them in the first place. Wyoming Democrats made that a focus this year.
I absolutely specifically look for women to run for office.
That's Amy Van Cleave, the executive director for Wyoming's Democratic Party. She notes 27 of the 37 women who ran this year were Democrats and says finding women to run for office is critical.
Our current Senator Enzi is very fond of saying, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And I absolutely believe that that's true for the women of Wyoming.
Despite those efforts, a total of only 10 women were elected to the legislature this year, and just four of those were Democrats. While Democrats were busy recruiting women, Republicans weren't. Matt Michaeli, chairman for the Wyoming Republican Party, says they don't have a specific plan for recruiting women. He says they leave it up to county leaders to recruit people. So I asked Tammy Hooper, the state committeewoman for the Albany County Republicans, about her county's recruitment strategy. Have you, in the Albany County Republicans, made any effort to specifically recruit women?
No, we haven't, that I'm aware of.
Hooper says mostly people approach the Republican Party if they're interested in running, so she doesn't do a lot of recruiting. But when she does reach out, she doesn't look at gender.
You know, what I look for in a candidate is who's going to be the best candidate, regardless of their gender.
Three women were elected to the Wyoming Senate this year, and two of them are Republicans. Michael I says he encouraged one of them, Affie Ellis, to think about running.
You know, it's not that she's a woman or that she's a man or anything. It's just somebody that I think is going to be a talented and great senator.
But U.S. Representative Cynthia Lummis argues recruiting women is important for both parties.
I think that political parties need to reach out to women, especially when they see a woman who's very involved in her community, very smart, able to articulate issues, care about the people that they would be representing, and help them.
Republican Ruth Ann Petroff is a current legislator who's stepping down after serving in the Wyoming House for 5 years. She agrees there should be more women in the legislature.
I've struggled with that in the past. Is it really important? And I guess I would just go to say, if everyone in the legislature were over 65 years of age, or everyone were under 35 years of age, we all have such different perspectives on life that a diverse group of people is essential to making good decisions for our future.
And research shows women have to be recruited. Katie Ziegler works for the National Conference of State Legislatures.
There's a difference there, and the research has proved that, that looking at men and women with equal professional backgrounds, equal qualifications, women need to be asked to run, and then they also don't see themselves as qualified to take on a political campaign.
But men do. And so big decisions will lie in the hands of the overwhelmingly male legislature this session.
To wrap up, let's bring in Wyoming Public Radio's Bob Beck to talk with the two reporters who spearheaded this series, Caroline Ballard of Wyoming Public Radio and Jennifer Pemberton, formerly of Utah Public Radio and now working for KTOO in Juneau, Alaska.
Caroline, how did Women Run the West come about?
Well, you know, it's funny, Bob. About a year ago, our general manager here at Wyoming Public Radio, Christina Kuzmich, asked if I would lead a panel on the number of women in Wyoming's legislature. Wyoming had just sunk to 50th in the country, and she was working on this as a part of Leadership Wyoming. So I started doing some research and preparing for the panel, which was last February, and kind of had an interesting crossover on Twitter.
Now, Jennifer, how did this all come about for you then?
Yeah, so I had been looking at the low numbers of women in the Utah State Legislature, and I had been sort of following, waiting for that announcement of the rankings to come out. It's kind of a big deal when this is your beat. And so the rankings came out, and Utah was like 43rd in the nation, which wasn't that bad, not as bad as Wyoming. And I actually saw Caroline tweet about that panel and sort of saying, hey, we're number 50. And so I reached out and said, hey, I'm working on this too. Maybe we could collaborate. And she loved that idea. And we actually applied to this NPR storytelling workshop back in D.C. And so we spent a couple of days at NPR headquarters in D.C. working on this program together. And then we spent the better part of the summer and the fall doing our reporting.
So, Jennifer, your initial question going into the project was basically, why are there so few elected women in Western states like Wyoming and Utah? Do you now feel like you can answer that?
I really wish we wouldn't have picked such a hard question because yes and no. I mean, the reason that always came up before I really started digging into this topic is that, you know, duh, Utah, like Mormons. And I always kind of bristled at how simplistic that was because, yes, like the Mormons do have an influence on the culture, obviously, but Utah actually used to have a much better showing of women in state elected positions, and the state has always been Mormon, so obviously that's not the whole story. I learned about some other factors like Utah's caucus and convention system that really seems to make it hard for minority candidates of any kind to get elected. So I learned that there are more factors than I ever thought that there were. I don't feel like I can clearly answer the question, why are there so few? It's still a problem.
Why are there so few in Wyoming, Caroline?
Right. I think it's similar to what Jennifer said. You know, you can answer parts of it. And it really does tend to be not quite so much the obvious answers that, you know, you kind of receive when you first look at this, like, well, women are full-time caregivers. Women are full-time caregivers. They have home obligations. There seem to be about 100 reasons women are less represented in Wyoming, including how Wyoming districts operate. We have a citizen legislature, makes it very hard to leave work for several months at a time. Wyoming's capital is kind of in the corner of the state, very far from other places. And, you know, I think each state has something unique like this. But the across the board consistent thing is that there isn't gender parity almost anywhere in the United States. So there has to be common ground somewhere. And I think we found that that kind of comes down to how women see themselves. Typically, they see themselves as less qualified and how they're recruited for office, which in many cases they are not recruited for office. So I think there's more reporting to do now in where women get these kinds of messages that they aren't qualified and who's doing what to fix that.
Can I ask you both a question? Caroline, starting with you, why is it important that we have more women?
Cynthia Lummis actually put it really great, and she actually mentioned this in the piece that we just heard, that half of Wyoming is women, and if there's only 13% women in the legislature, there are certainly voices that are not being heard and perspectives. And the more perspectives you have from different people in a state, the better it is for a representative democracy. You know, I think representatives can try their best to be a voice for everyone in their community. But until you have a personal perspective and a personal stake in the legislature, I think a lot of those issues are going to go unheard.
Jennifer?
Yeah, and I don't think we're being too literal when we use the word representative to like mean that, to, you know, to assume that representatives, elected officials, should represent the people. And of course, that can't be like a perfect formula. But, you know, 15% or 13% in the cases of Utah and Wyoming in our just in our House legislature or in our state legislatures, that's not representative. There are, in Utah, at least, there are more women than men in the state. And so, you know, we'll probably never have parity. It might not ever be perfect, but we have to try to get closer to actually having our elected officials look more like the people that they're representing.
Jennifer Pemberton, formerly of Utah Public Radio, currently talking to us from KTOO in Juneau, Alaska, and Caroline Ballard, of course, of Wyoming Public Radio. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
The stories we heard are part of the series Women Run the West, a public radio collaboration exploring the role of women in Western politics. You can hear the full series at womenrunthewest.org. And we'll be back with a new episode of The Modern West on the third Tuesday of next month. If you like what you hear, we'd appreciate a positive rating on iTunes or wherever you're listening. In the meantime, you can find more stories about The Modern West at our website, wyomingpublicmedia.org. Sam Egan produced this podcast. Anna Rader is our web editor. The theme music is by Jeff Troxell, and I'm Micah Schweitzer. The Modern West is a production of Wyoming Public Media.